So may God also give us grace this morning, before we look up to Him and thank Him for His grace, for His word that He left us. I would like to read a word from the Gospel of John, a word very familiar to us. We all already know it by heart, but I would still like to read it. John chapter 3 from verse 1, very well known to us. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Up to here, this precious and holy word. It is both strange and wonderful how Jesus spoke to Nicodemus here. Last night we heard from the sermon that was translated for us, how our brother had been there. He heard the wind, he heard the roaring, He heard the movements and did not know what was be said to him. Here our Lord and Savior says to Nicodemus, you may hear the wind outside. You may know how it works, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with the Spirit of God. He blows where he wills, and where he wills, and in whom he wills. He called him, pointed out to him the way in which he could come to the one in whom he thought he believed. As we have heard, he came to him by night and told him, or testified to him, the signs and wonders that he did no one can do unless God is with him. But we see that the Lord, our Master, our God and Savior, who bought us and set us free, did he give him an answer to this? Absolutely not. But he pointed out to him what was important. He showed him the path he should take. He showed him the jewel that was offered to him, in Jesus Christ. He was to be born again. He was to become a new creation. He was to come to God so that God could transform him. And I believe I can say this. The Lord is speaking this word to us today, to you and to me. He wants to transform us. He wants to make us a new creation, something that serves him to his honor and praise, as we heard last night, a new heart, a new spirit, so that the Spirit of God can enter into us and we can serve him, worship and praise him. May God give us grace to look up to him this morning. May he help us to open our hearts so that he can renew them, so that he can make of us vessels for his honor and praise. Thanks be to him for this. We want to worship him, and I would like to say, everyone should do it, whether collectively or individually. One thing is important to us all. If we call ourselves children of God, we should not remain silent, but should open our mouths. We know, as parents, that if our children do not make a sound, we are saddened. We are worried about them. But as long as they make a sound and begin to bubble, our heart rejoices. Our mind rejoices. And how much more is it when our God hears from us, when we look up to him, pray to him, call upon him, and even if it is only in bubbling, he knows what we want to ask for. Let us do it now. I would like to say, some brothers should pray and supplicate to our Lord, and then we pray together. Let us rise. We come together before your face in this hour, O God. We open our mouths to you, the living and true one, O Lord, who created us, Lord, who redeemed us and bought us before the foundation of the world, who appointed us, O God, to be yours, O Lord. Thanks be to you. We thank you, O God, for your holy word. We thank you for your holy presence, O Lord. We thank you for your marvelous Holy Spirit, O Lord, which you have poured out on all flesh, O Lord. So grant us grace, Lord, that we may open ourselves, O God in heaven, that we may open our hearts wide, Lord, that we may open our mouths, that you may fill them, that we may thank and worship you, O Lord, for the privilege, that we may still come together in this way, that we may praise and honor you together, O Lord. I praise you and ask you, O God, prepare thou our heart, our soul. Let your seed fall in us on fertile ground, O Lord, that it may sprout, Lord, O my God, that all that has withered, O Lord, may be taken away, Lord, that something new may spring up, Lord, to your honor and praise, my God, bless us. Bless the lips and anoint them, Lord, through which you will speak, O God. Together we ask you, and pray, bless all your people throughout the earth, O Lord, all who are lonely, Lord, all who are anywhere and look up to you, O God in heaven, answer thou and give grace for the praise of your name. Amen. You may be seated, that we might be told and that we might take it with us as an experience. The promise is already in the Word, and when the Word is brought to us, then the experience should be connected with it. In any case, no word of God will return void. Every word is a seed, and this divine seed is sown. And God gives grace so that it sprouts and new life comes forth. I will translate in a moment. I just thought of the word from Isaiah 42 to show us in what connection the Lord said that he makes new things known and creates new things. Isaiah 42 from verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Up to here, this precious word of God. For all those who were not here last night, we should briefly mention that we read Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. It was the text that Brother Branham based the sermon on. I will read it again. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That was the text. God wants to make such people out of us, people with a new heart, with a new life, with a new spirit, by grace. And the Lord says, behold, I make all things new. He says, I am creating something new. The former prophecies have been fulfilled. Now I am making new things known. And when He makes new things known, we can sing a new song to Him. On the one tape side, there's a very short passage, which unfortunately I can't translate now, so that I don't have to stop to turn the tape. But there, Brother Branham makes reference to creation and speaks of the Spirit of God hovering, brooding over the deep, not just blowing over it as a wind, but radiating warmth in order to bring forth something. And he has expressed this thought in connection with the fact that only where the Spirit of God and the fire of God, the warmth of God can really be, new life can come forth. And that is precisely what we all need if it is to be a thorough, deep work, a work that can stand before God. Then it must have been worked by the Spirit of God. Everything that we can do ourselves does not even stand its ground before ourselves or others, let alone before God. It must have been wrought by God. He has given the promise, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. May God make His word, His spirit, and the power of His blood work, so that what is pleasing in His sight may be done for us and in us, that we may testify in truth, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. As we also heard last night, that new wine is not put into old bottles and they burst, but that new wine can be put into new bottles. We will not be able to do it, but He has already proved that it is possible, that it can be done through Golgotha. So we read here that He has made a new covenant, has become the light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Dear heart, accept it for yourself today in faith. Accept it as a word from God in your heart, and say, Lord, this is how it is. You have brought me out. You have opened my eyes. You have broken the prison. You have taken away the darkness and given light by grace. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Whenever something new was to happen, God always pointed out what had already come to pass and made new things known so that we could be strengthened in our faith. If God had not yet done anything, we would not know exactly where we stand. But God has done great things. God has done much for his people Israel in the times of the prophets, and especially since the beginning of the New Testament church. He has also opened our eyes by grace, has given us a new heart by grace, a new spirit. Oh yes, we testify to this with full assurance of faith that he has done this for us. And if there is anyone here who cannot say this with conviction, take the opportunity and say to the Lord, "Let it be done today." We no longer want meetings in which God's word is preached and achieves nothing, but services in which the Lord can make his word so alive, so powerful, because we have received it in faith and trust. It says of the people of Israel, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. We must receive God's word in faith in the finished work on the cross of Calvary, and must always allow his word to pass through and over Calvary to us. And then we know that all God's promises are yes and amen. There was another passage that the Lord used to begin his ministry in Luke 4 from verse 18. He had read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and then it says here, or he began to read, and in verse 18 it says, Luke 4 verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What a marvelous word. It was written in the prophet Isaiah for hundreds of years. Suddenly, the one through whom it found fulfillment stood there and took the scripture and was then able to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. Today, this word has come true. From today, you can experience what has been written for hundreds of years. It is yours." What an offer of grace from our God. Let us accept it. Let us sit earnestly under the word of God and say, "Lord, we hear, we believe, we accept, and we want to experience you." Really, that the Spirit of God could surround us, that warmth could be radiated, and that something divine, even new life, could come forth by grace. And where will it come forth? We heard that so beautifully last night. The old trees were completely withered, lifeless, no bark, nothing was there. But the old trees had seed before, and the seed fell into the earth, and the seed sprang up again, and there was a new forest. It is the same now. Even if everything around us has withered, God has given his word by grace. The seed has fallen into our hearts. It only needs to be struck by the light of the sun and moistened by the rain of the Spirit and die. We must die. It is written of our Lord, "If the corn of wheat falls into the ground and does not die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." We must give our life to death, so that the Lord can bring it forth to new life. May He bless now. While we are still translating the second part of the sermon. But let us please be attentive, accept God's word, and tell Him, O Lord, You have brought us together because You have a plan for us, and we want to be included in this plan. Let us have Golgotha before our eyes, as a songwriter sings, Wash me in Jesus' precious blood, in the cleansing flood of grace. Lord, to You alone I will consecrate my life. Now and forever it is Yours, as the song goes, that we would have consecrated our lives to Him, and that He could really count on us. I must openly admit that all these words have penetrated deep into my soul. I already said it last night. We have heard God's word all these years. We have believed it with all our hearts. And now we have a very great desire within us for this word to be confirmed, for God to come into His own. We have heard again and again that the Lord will restore all things, and that then, as the prophet Joel prophesied, there will be fullness, no more lack. As a songwriter also sings, the fullness is here in Calvary's stream of grace. We don't just want anything. We want what God has given to His church, what rightfully belongs to us through Golgotha, that which is ours, that which was stolen from the New Testament church in the meantime, that which He had at the beginning, we would now like to have at the end. And that is one of the main promises in this divine message that we believe. The Lord says, I will restore. We have read it often enough in Acts 3, 20 and 21. Jesus Christ is waiting in heaven until the time of restoration of all that God has spoken by the mouth of His prophets since the world began. This must become reality. But if we are waiting for what I call the latter rain, as they waited for the former rain, then our hearts must also be renewed. Our spirit, our mind must become new. Maybe that's what was meant. It's sometimes a little complicated in English. But God wants to give us the mind of Jesus Christ by grace, because that's what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Jesus Christ, new life, new heart, and then endued with power from on high, so that it is the power of God that can work through us. Paul boasted of his weaknesses, and by this wanted to emphasize in particular that it was not he who had done anything, as if the power that has been revealed came from us, as the apostle said, but that it belongs to the Lord, and has only been manifested and revealed through us who believe. There is also a word concerning the heart in the prophet Ezekiel. It is worth thinking about this. It says here in chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18, from verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Strange. In one scripture it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And here spoken through the same prophet Ezekiel, it says, "Make you a new heart and a new spirit." What now? Shall we do it? Will he do it? How shall it be now? Very simple. In order for him to make it, we must be willing to give up everything that belongs to the old life from our heart. And then a new heart will come. Then the old will be gone. When the old has passed away, then everything has automatically become new, because the old is only in our way. It says here, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." In other words, a conversion to God, a turning away from everything that cannot stand before Him. Everything should be taken out of our hearts, from which all evil thoughts come, before they become deeds. I recently spoke to a young man and said, "I have the impression that I'm so in the way and would rather be a blessing." He looks at me and says, "Listen, you are not standing in anyone's way." And then he said, "I'm in my own way, and at most, you are in your own way. Everyone stands in their own way." And maybe that's the case with all of us. We sometimes want to see others, and perhaps also to unload guilt on them, but we stand before God. And if we don't make progress in our own life of faith, it's not because of anyone else, but because of myself, because of what stands in my way, and because of what stands in your way. Here it says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." This is the precondition for God to create it in us, a turning away from the old, a turning towards the new by the grace of God. And it must be a decision of the heart. And this decision we could not make ourselves, nor have we given it to ourselves. Under the preaching, faith has come into us, and we have realized that we can only turn to the Lord, but that He does the rest in us. But the will must be put into us. And here too, He does both. He gives the willing and also the doing, so that in the end no man can boast and say, "I have done it." But as it says, "If anyone wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord." But these are the two scriptures that absolutely belong together. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why do you want to die, church? The Lord lives, and He lives to give us new life. He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We should have been strengthened and comforted by all these words, because every word that God addresses to us has meaning, has purpose, and must not return void, but must accomplish what He has sent it to do. The last verse of chapter 18 in Ezekiel, it reads, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." A biblical conversion will result a new divine life. It will be a wholehearted turning to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we turn to Him with all our heart, He will let Himself be found. For thus it is written, He who seeks will find. And also, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let myself be found by you. A complete turning to God. A complete repentance. A conversion to Him. Leaving the old behind us. And turning our eyes to Jesus Christ, who makes all things new, even in your life. He can even repair the old damage and give you a completely new heart and a new spirit. We long for this and know what He has promised, He will certainly keep. He gives us what we need to stand our ground before Him. May God create such an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere, an atmosphere in which we feel comfortable, in which God can bring something forth. Not you, not me, but we dedicate ourselves to Him, we come to Him, we surrender to Him. He will do the rest by grace. New heart, new life, new spirit. And so God will return to the church with the power of the Spirit to once more shake heaven and earth and once more confirm the word as true. Sometimes we want to go public. We want to send out the last call to all peoples, tongues and nations. But it has to be more than just a call with words. God must be behind it. God must bear witness to the word of His grace, as He did in the beginning. We must come to the meetings, not only with the thought of hearing the word. We must also carry within us the thought of coming to experience God after hearing the word, to be blessed with a blessing that God has promised us in His word. If we only come to receive instruction, we will only receive instruction. God can only do to us as we have believed. Again and again the Lord asked, "Do you believe that I can do this for you?" And then it happened. We must come under the sound of the word of God with a necessary faith, not just to hear the word, but to experience and receive in the certainty of faith what God has promised us in His word. And if we come and pray fervently for the Lord to glorify Himself, then He will do so. Do we all have a deep longing in our hearts for Him to glorify Himself? Is that really the case? Then He will do it soon. In any case, it will happen before the Lord returns. And because we don't know how long it will take, no one knows it. We can expect it every day, but no one can say when it will happen. But one thing is certain, before the return of the Lord, we will see the glory once again. But we want to see it today. If you believe today, you can see it today. There is not a single case where the Lord has said to people, "If you want to see the glory of God, come another time and I will show it to you." No. In every case, whether with the sick, whether with sinners, whether with the resurrection of Lazarus, everywhere, It was a matter of believing at the moment when the Lord was present that he was able to do what was at hand. In this way we must enter into the presence of God in order to see the glory of God. And the Lord must have been a little displeased when Martha said, "I know he will rise again at the last day." She wanted to put it in the future. Her faith went into the future. And the Lord said with a clear voice, "I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother will rise again, not at the last day." And he commanded that the stone be removed. He was there, and it could happen. If he is here, then it can happen. It can happen to you now. And we believe that he is present. We can't help it, because that's what he said in his word. We are gathered in his name, and he is present. He doesn't want to do it tomorrow. No, now, in this moment. And I have the impression that we should take a little time to pray together and seek and find the connection to God while we pray and take him at his word so that he can confirm it to us. Let's stand up now and pray together. Perhaps we will sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Let us worship together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. We thank you that you are doing something new, not only around us and in your kingdom, but in us and through us. You want to reveal yourself anew. Confirm your word anew, O Lord. Bring forth a new resurrection life. O Lord, we thank you for your abundant grace, for your speaking, for your presence. O come, Spirit of the Lord, come and surround us, O God, in the Holy Spirit, over the church. Lord, we have received your word, faithful God. Before your face we are gathered. Do the rest now. Hallelujah. Do it by the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. Let there be signs and wonders where your word is proclaimed, Lord. Have mercy now on all who labor and are heavy laden, on all who are in need, Lord. May they now grasp your pierced hand in faith. Faithful Lord, you have accomplished everything. You have set us free. You have led captivity captive and set us free. Lord, we thank you. Your light has risen for us in the darkness. Faithful Lord, we are gathered before your face to receive what you have prepared for us. Do it through the power of your blood. Faithful Lord, baptize us with fire and spirit. O faithful Lord, grant grace that your church may be equipped once more O Lord, that we may become one heart and one soul, that a divine atmosphere may be in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. O faithful God, let your word come true, confirm it in us and through us. Give us a new heart, a new spirit, a new experience with you, and fill us with power and with your spirit. We thank you for this, beloved Lord. We are gathered here before your face and cannot leave as we came. Now we believe that you have sent your word to make us well, to set us right, to heal us, to save us, to set us free. Yes, Lord, you have sent your word in manifold ways, even today. In this service, you will have had a word, an encouragement for each one of us. Even if not everything may apply or be true for everyone, you always have something for everyone, and I thank you for that. Who could come into your presence without experiencing you, beloved Lord? Hallelujah! Praise and honor, glory and worship to your holy name. You, the victor of Golgotha. Hallelujah! You have been made the covenant of the nations, so that your salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord God rested upon you, so that the good news could be brought. Beloved Lord, may the same Spirit of God rest upon us, that we may bring the same message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it may not be in words alone, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Lord, you now look over the crowd and ask, can you believe that I have already done it, so that it may be given to you? Can you believe that everything has been provided? O Lord, we thank you together. May there now be a holy atmosphere of faith in this room. We do not believe anything. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe your promises, beloved Lord, and we will see them fulfilled. Praised and glorified be your wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Praise his name, for he is present and works through his word, through his spirit, in the blood-bought multitude, to work new hearts, to create new life, hallelujah, so that we can then sing a new song. Faithful God, worship and honor be to you for all eternity, hallelujah.